Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, Second Class, August 18, 2024, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans 8, 1 to 17 is looking at the unique spiritual life of the church age in relationship to the doctrine of sanctification. And we have been studying the three phases of sanctification: positional sanctification at the moment of salvation, entered into union with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit; experiential sanctification, living the spiritual life after salvation, attaining spiritual maturity, grace, righteousness, having virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, and having capacity for greater grace, blessings, and time. And the agent of experiential sanctification is the Word of God, John 17:17. Now that brings us to ultimate sanctification, phase three sanctification, or ultimate sanctification. One, ultimate sanctification refers to the believer in the eternal state. The believer in the eternal state. And this is the having a resurrection body. In the eternal state with a resurrection body. In eternity, every believer will have a resurrection body. Two, until the rapture of the church occurs, there are a lot of believers in the church age that have died, but the rapture hasn't taken place. We all receive our resurrection body at the rapture. So what about the church age believers who die before the rapture? Well, until the rapture of the church occurs, all church age believers who die go to heaven in an interim body. Interim body, where there is equally great happiness and blessing for all believers. So right now, Deb's mom and dad, they're in heaven right now, and they're in an interim body having a great, great time. My mom and dad are in heaven right now in an interim body having great, great time. Don Lewis is in heaven, and he's there with another Don, Don Levchek. The two Dons are in heaven. And we found out that Don Lewis wanted to be a firefighter. So now Don Levchek is up there teaching Don Lewis how to be a firefighter. But you got to go down to you know what to be a firefighter. I don't think he wants to go there. So point three, at the rapture, all church age believers receive their resurrection bodies. At the rapture, all church age believers receive their resurrection body. Both those who are already in heaven, The dead in Christ will rise first, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And those alive on the earth, and we who are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, 1 Thessalonians 4:17. So it's at the rapture, all church-age believers receive their resurrection body. The rapture is signless and timeless. Nobody knows when it's going to take place. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's just around the corner. 4. So ultimate sanctification is the state of being blameless before God, possessing a resurrection body. Ultimate sanctification is the state of being blameless before God, possessing a resurrection body. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 8. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. The rapture, and then look over at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. In fact, we could start at verse 3. Worthy of praise and glorification, the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he elected us to privilege before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. So ultimate sanctification is the state of being blameless before God, possessing a resurrection body. 5. Following the rapture of the church, we will assemble before Jesus Christ. This is called the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, where all church age saints will be evaluated. We're all going to be evaluated. Every one of us, every church age believer following the rapture will all be here, brought before the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, to be evaluated whether or not we receive crowns and rewards that glorify God forever and ever, or whether we lose out on those things. There will be an evaluation of each one of us. We'll all stand there. And I hope you're all looking forward to that. And if you are consistent and faithful and growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and living the spiritual life, you will attain spiritual maturity. God will pour out in your cup greater grace blessings for time, a guarantee that you have waiting for you at the judgment seat of Christ, greater grace blessings, crowns and rewards that will be given to you and will glorify God forever, never, never. However, if you fail, you make bad decisions to live your life out of fellowship with God. You make bad decisions to live your life under the power of the energy of the flesh, the sin nature. You make bad decisions to live your life in Satan's cosmic system. And you don't grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Well, you don't lose your salvation. You'll be there and be evaluated at the judgment seat of Christ. And you will lose out on those crowns and rewards. You'll still be in heaven. You'll still be in heaven, but you'll lose out on those crowns and rewards that would glorify God forever and ever. So following the rapture of the church at the judgment seat of Christ, spiritually mature believers will receive their greater grace blessings for eternity, crowns and rewards, and they will be presented to God the Father in the royal court of heaven. Six, ultimate sanctification converts the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ while we're here on earth. Ultimate sanctification converts the body of Christ into the bride of Christ. We're the body of Christ while we're here on earth, but then we are the bride of Christ. So ultimate sanctification converts the body of Christ into the bride of Christ. Seven, in ultimate sanctification, the church is resurrected, and we are now resurrected aristocracy, and therefore it is different from all other resurrections. The royal family of God shares in the coronation and the triumph of the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes back to this earth at the second advent. Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth at the second advent. And when he comes back, he will bring his bride with him. And that will be he will establish his kingdom on earth, the millennial kingdom, a 1,000-year reign. And it will be a wedding celebration for 1,000 years. Jesus Christ and his bride. And we are his bride. We are his bride. We will be a part of that 1,000-year wedding celebration, the millennial kingdom. So the royal family of God shares in the coronation and triumph of Jesus Christ at the second advent. And therefore, the bride must be prepared. You know that. You know the bride has to be prepared prior to the second advent. So let's take a look at that. Turn over to Revelation chapter 19. The preparation of the bride, and we are the bride. Revelation 19. We had a, Deb and I had, we were blessed on Friday. We took some of our widows out to dinner and we were blessed. That was so great. And Mary Lou asked a very good question. Will there be dogs in heaven? Yes. Yes, there will. Because when I read Revelation 19, the Lord Jesus Christ comes back riding a horse. If there are horses in heaven, there sure are dogs in heaven. Horses are dumb. Dogs are smart. 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 Of course, all cats go to hell. You know that. No. My son has a cat. He keeps saying, I'm putting it in a box and sending it to you. I said, Revelation 19, verse 6. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him the glory. For the wedding of the Lamb, they Second advent of Christ, the millennial kingdom, is the wedding of the Lamb. For the wedding of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, has come. And His bride, and we're the bride, we're the body of Christ here on earth, we're the bride in heaven. For the bride has made herself ready. Preparation of the bride. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the grace, righteous acts of the saints. So, in ultimate sanctification, the church is resurrected aristocracy and therefore different from all other resurrections. The royal family of God shares in the coronation and triumph of Jesus Christ at the second advent. And therefore, the bride must be prepared prior to the second advent. Revelation 19:6-8. All right. Well, that's the three phases of sanctification. Positional sanctification, experiential sanctification, ultimate sanctification. Now, we're not done with sanctification, though. One. The means of sanctification is our Lord Jesus Christ. The means of sanctification is our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Starting at verse 9. Hebrews 10, verse 9. Then he said, "Behold, I have come to do thy will." He takes away the first, the Mosaic law, in order to establish the second. And by this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So, subpoint one. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the means of sanctification through His salvation work on the cross. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the means of sanctification through His salvation work on the cross. Subpoint two. There is no sanctification in the church age outside of those who personally believe in Jesus Christ. There is no sanctification in the church age outside of those who personally believe in Jesus Christ. Subpoint three. Were it not for the unique person of Christ in His hypostatic union, undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever, and His efficacious saving work on the cross, there would be no sanctification in the human race. There would be no being set apart to God. So were it not for the unique person of Christ in His hypostatic union, the eternal Son of God left heaven on that very first Christmas. Through the incarnation and virgin birth, He took on true humanity. Why? To go to the cross and provide salvation, solve the world problem of sin. So his efficacious save working on the cross, then there would be no sanctification in the human race and no being set apart to God. Subpoint four. No salvation, no faith in Jesus Christ means no sanctification. No salvation, no faith in Jesus Christ means no sanctification, because salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, precedes all three categories of sanctification. Subpoint five. We are a new spiritual species. A new spiritual species. We are in union with the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. We are royal family of God. We are the body of Christ on earth to become the bride of Christ for all eternity. We are a new spiritual species in contrast to the Jews, who are a new racial species. So again, point one, the means of sanctification is our Lord Jesus Christ, Hebrews 10, 9 and 10. Point two. The recipients of sanctification are church age believers only. Church age believers only. Therefore, subpoint one, in positional sanctification at salvation, the believer is entered into union with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit. We share the eternal life, perfect righteousness, sonship, heirship, royalty, election, destiny of Christ, as well as many more things. But in positional sanctification at salvation, the believer is entered into union with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit. Subpoint two, in experiential sanctification in time, the believer is sanctified by living the spiritual life, attaining spiritual maturity, and having virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. Subpoint three, in ultimate sanctification, the eternal state, the believer is sanctified through the possession of a resurrection body. So the recipients of sanctification, church age believers only. Point three, there are three agents of sanctification. Three agents of sanctification that relate to the three phases of sanctification. First of all, the agent of positional sanctification is God the Holy Spirit. This is the baptism of the Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is the agent who takes us at the moment of faith in Christ and enters us into union with Christ. 1 Corinthians, turn over to 1 Corinthians 12:13. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, the body of Christ, whether Jews or Greeks, Jews or Gentiles, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. So, baptism means to identify one object with another object. We are identified with Christ, in union with Christ, which makes us all equal. The only true equality in human history is found in the equality produced by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We are all equal before Christ, because we are all in union with Jesus Christ. The same equality means we have the same opportunity to live the spiritual life, the same opportunity to reach spiritual maturity, the same opportunity to glorify God to the maximum. All of us. Makes no difference. Now, in the Old Testament, there was no equality. Especially in Israel, there was a specialized priesthood. You had a Levitical priesthood. You had to be of the tribe of Levi to be a priest. There also was a specialized Jewish royal family. But in the church age, we are all equal. Equality, equal privilege, equal opportunity to live the spiritual life, to reach maturity, and glorify God to the maximum. And when 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "And we were all made to drink of one spirit," that's explained in John chapter 7. Turn over to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. John 7, verse 37, "Now on the last day, the great day of the feast of tabernacles, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. The one who believes in me," faith in Jesus Christ, as the scripture said, "from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." So, drinking portrays faith in Jesus Christ. The indwelling and filling of the Spirit was never given in the Old Testament. Occasionally, a few people had the endowment of the Spirit to carry out a special task, but the indwelling and filling of the Spirit are reserved for the church age. And just as when you drink water, water is now in you, so also when you believe in Jesus Christ, you are caused to drink the Spirit, Holy Spirit, which is tantamount to the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in you. So the agent of positional sanctification is God the Holy Spirit. Now the agent of experiential sanctification is the Word of God. The Word of God, John 17, 17, Jesus Christ praying, "Father, sanctify them by means of your word. Sanctify them by the truth of your word. Your word is absolute truth." And the absolute concept of experiential sanctification is related to the filling of the Spirit. The relative concept of experiential sanctification is related to the degree of spiritual growth through your consistent and faithful metabolization of the Word of God. And then the agent of ultimate sanctification, God the Father. And this is Romans 8, 29 and 30, and Ephesians 1, 3 and 4. Romans 8, 29 and 30. Romans 8, 29, "For those that God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Dallas Theological Seminary was founded by Lewis Berry Chafer. And this was Lewis Berry Chafer's favorite passage that he taught. And he says, I want you all to know, no one slipped out. The same ones that God foreknew are the same ones he predestined. The same ones he predestined are the ones he elected, called. And the one he elected to privilege and call are the same ones that he justified. And the ones he justified are the same ones he glorified. God didn't lose any of them. And then Ephesians 1, 3, and 4. So blameless is the special work of God the Father in eternity future. All right. Now we're ready for some exegesis. But you have to come back next week for that. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.